Ephesians 3:16, the last sentence, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Who is this inner man? Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Did you know that not everyone has an inner man? If you're an unbeliever, if you've not been born again, you do not have an inner man. Only that one who has been given life by the Spirit of God has this inner man. Now, I've entitled this message, The Two Natures of the Believer. The two natures of the believer. Now, the believer has two separate men living within him. The new man and the old man. The inner man and the outer man. And this is what the Bible actually teaches. Now, I'm not talking about a soul and a body. Those are the two natures. The soul is the inner man, and the body, that's the animal nature. I'm not talking about that at all. Everybody does have a soul and body, but only the believer has an inner man and an outer man. And it's what the Bible teaches, and somebody might think, well, that sounds like spiritual schizophrenia. Well, maybe if you don't understand, but if you have an inner man and you hear this message, you're going to know exactly what is being taught. The two natures of the believer. Now, on some levels, this is difficult to comprehend, this thing of having two distinct men living in one man, because both of these natures, or both of these men, operate through one consciousness. Have you ever seen a sink that has a cold water faucet and a hot water faucet? Sure you have. Well, in a believer, there are not two separate faucets. You've got the hot and cold going through the same faucet. That one consciousness. You got the old man operating through that one consciousness, and you got the new man operating through that one consciousness. Like hot and cold water coming out of the same faucet. That's the best illustration I can think of. We read in the scripture of the new man, the inner man, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, the new creature, the new creation, something that was not there before. And we read of the old man. We read of the flesh. We read of the carnal mind. We read of the sin that dwelleth in me. We read of the wretched man. We read of the body of this death. Both of these men, the old man and the new, come through one consciousness. And because of that, I can see why this is difficult to grasp, but I know this is so. This is what the Bible teaches, as we're going to see, as the Lord enables us to see. And, you know, I'm really not worried about this being abused or misunderstood. If it's the truth, I want to preach it as clearly as the Lord enables me. And I realize people can take something like this and abuse it, but they can abuse anything. Any aspect of God's truth, men can take and hang themselves with it. But, as I said, I know this is the objective truth of the Word of God. It's not subject to man's opinions. This is what the Bible teaches. And I also know that this is my subjective experience. Think of this scripture. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the new man. He delights in the law of God. But I see another law warring in my members, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, oh wretched man that I am. Now there's the wretched man and there is the inward man who delights in the law of God. And that is the experience of every believer. You know, I'm a Romans 7 sinner. You read Romans 7, that's me. Now somebody, I've heard people object to, you need to get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. That's foolishness. The Romans 7 sinner is actually the healthy state of a believer. It's the healthy state. If you can't see yourself in Romans 7, something's wrong with you. Either that or you're not saved. The new man and the old man. Now somebody may be thinking, why make an issue of this? Is it really important what you believe about this? Is it an issue in the first place? Does it make any difference whether or not you believe in two separate natures? Well, if the Bible teaches something, it's an issue, isn't it? Do we need anything else? If the Bible teaches something, it is an issue. And people have said that about every doctrine taught in the Scripture. For instance, election. Somebody says, does it really make any difference whether or not you believe election? Is that an issue? Well, if God saving by pure grace is not an issue, it's not an issue. If God getting all the glory and salvation is not an issue, it's not an issue. But as we know, salvation is of the Lord. It's by His grace, and He gets all the glory. So yes, it is an issue. It's in the Scripture. And yes, this thing of the two natures of the believer is an issue because the Bible actually teaches it. But before we look at what the Scriptures has to say about this subject, if you will, let me give six issues at stake with regard to two separate natures in a believer. Here's the first issue. The issue is that of total depravity. You cannot believe in total depravity, inability, the carnal mind being enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The old nature is not helped and influenced by grace. The old nature is nothing but evil and can't be anything but that. That's what the doctrine of the scriptural doctrine, total depravity, states. The complete inability of man to do anything to save himself. And if I don't believe in two separate natures, I'm saying that God acts on the old nature and helps it to believe. And that's a complete denial of what the Scripture says about man being dead in trespasses and sins. Here's the second issue, is the nature of the new birth. The nature of the new birth. There is nothing of the flesh in the new birth. That which is born of the flesh, the Savior said, is flesh. It can't rise beyond that. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Lord said in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Partakers, said Peter, of the divine nature. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, a denial of two natures is a denial of all of that. Now, here's the third issue. Listen to this very carefully. Salvation is not a changed life. Salvation is a new creation. You know, there's a lot of changed lives. You know, you can get sick of being sick all the time and change. You can be tired of being tired all the time. Change. A lot of people do it. A lot of people do. There are a lot of changed lives. Salvation is not a changed life. Salvation is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, in creation, God didn't have anything to work with, did he? Light be, and light was. He created something from nothing. In the new creation, God doesn't have anything to work with. He creates something. Someone is a better way to put it, who was not there before. We're said in Ephesians 4 to be created in righteousness and true holiness. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not an improved heart, improved by grace. It's not a changed life, but a new creation, a new person. A new man that was not there before. Fourth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, well, as a matter of fact, turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. And what a treasure it is. It's only the new man that sees the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why? So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure, this new man, this knowledge of the light of the glory of God in this body of flesh, this sinful body. And here's why. You know, God could have made it to where not like this, but he didn't. And he has wise and holy purposes. And here's why. That the excellency of the power may be of God. This is all his work and not of us. To deny two separate natures is to deny that the excellency of the power is all of God and not of us. That's how critical this issue is. And here's my fifth reason that this is an issue, not understanding two separate natures, is the cause of such fear and sadness in the life of a believer if he is confused on this issue. Here's why I say this. If I thought this, or I did that, maybe I'm not a believer. Surely a believer wouldn't do something like that. I keep committing the same sin, maybe I'm not saved. You see, there's really no assurance if you don't understand these two separate natures, because you're looking about how you're living rather than looking to Christ. It's what's called progressive sanctification. How holy are you becoming? How much are you improving? Whereas the new nature looks to Christ only. And you never graduate past that. You never get better than that. You look to Christ only. And here's the sixth issue. If this could be said to be an issue, but I like thinking about this. The real me is not the man who sins. That's not the real me. Didn't Paul say, it's not I, but the sin that dwelleth in me? The real me is the man who loves God. The real me is the man who does not sin. And we're going to look at that in a moment. The real me is the man who worships God in the Spirit, rejoices in Christ Jesus, and has no confidence at all in the flesh. That's the real me of every believer. That's the one who was eternally given to Christ. That's the one whom God said, behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's the one who's always had personality before God, who's been eternally united to Christ. That's the real me. That other fella, that's not me. That's the old man. And that is the sentiment of Romans 7. Somebody says, that's crazy. Well, call Paul crazy because he said it wasn't me. It's the sin that dwells in me. And that is the experience of every believer. Now, the doctrine stated is that all men are dead in sins, dead, no life, and God creates new life that was not there before, a new man. You remember when the Lord said in John 6:63, it's the Spirit that gives life, it's the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits how much? Nothing. Nothing. The flesh has nothing to do with this new man. It's a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's a new man that was not there before. The old man's still there, but now there's a new man that was not there before. Now, this is illustrated. Let me give you an Old Testament and a New Testament illustration. Turn to Genesis chapter 25. Verse 20, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. She had no life in her. She was barren. Isaac prayed for her. He entreated the Lord on her behalf, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She now had life. Life that was not there before in her. And the children struggled. She didn't know she had two men in her. The children struggled. And that's a strong word. They were beating each other black and blue. She had these two twins in her womb that were just fighting. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? If I have life, why do I have this struggle within? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now within you, there's two manner of people. I realize that this has been used to, and it is used to teach him, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, showing God's sovereignty in salvation. And Paul does indeed use it to demonstrate that, but what a clear teaching of my experience and your experience if we're believers. Two manner of men. Now somebody that doesn't have two men, they can't understand this. It's weird. Spiritual schizophrenia. What in the world are they talking about? But if you have two men in you, you know exactly what this is. When our Lord gave the parable, and think of this, what does this mean? The Lord gave the parable, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about you don't take new wine and put it into old wineskins. If you do, the wine through the process of fermentation will bust the old dried, cracked wineskins and you'll lose everything. You put new wine into new wineskins. You put the wine of His grace into a new heart. The old heart can't receive it. The old heart can't hold it. You have to be given a new heart for the wine of His grace to be poured in, one that was not there before. This is the new man, the new man of regeneration. Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 36. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in reading this psalm. Verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within his heart. No, I didn't read that right, did I? The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart. This is what my heart, the new heart, observes about the wicked, which is me. There's no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that's not good. He abhorreth not evil. Now that's what my heart looks at my old man, and that's my old man's, that's him. And that's the new man's testimony with regard to myself. And the only way that can be understood is two men. When the Lord came to the disciples and they were sleeping in the garden, he said, couldn't you watch 1 hour with me? And then he made this statement. Now I find such comfort in this statement. Truly, the Spirit is willing. Paul said, to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good? I find not, but to will is present with me. The Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. And that same word is also translated impotent, without strength, powerless. There's nothing to it. The Spirit is willing. I would never sin again. The flesh is impotent, evil. It can't do anything. Now, Paul spoke in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. He said, put off the old man which is corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, but put on the new man which is created, there's that word, in righteousness and true holiness. Not phony holiness, but true holiness. You see the phony holiness of religion. It's phony. It's offensive. And Paul found it that way. I hate religion. Put on true holiness, which comes from this new man. And then Peter spoke in 1 Peter 3:4 of the
hidden man of the heart,
which is not corruptible.
Now listen to the language. The hidden man of the heart.
He's hiding. You can't see him.
He's not corruptible. He's not subject to decay.
He's not subject to sin. The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even a meek and quiet spirit.
Meek before God, quiet.
Not trying to cause trouble, which is in the sight of God is a great price.
This is the one who delights in the law of God after the inward man.
Turn with me to 1 John 3. I want you to look at this, please. 1 John chapter 3.
Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
There are versions of or translations that says he doesn't practice sin. He doesn't practice sin.
That's just not,
it's not what it says for one thing. It's not what it says. That is wrong. Somebody says, well, sin's not the tenor of their life.
No, it says they don't sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, that means he doesn't practice sin. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen to this question. Answer it honestly. I'm not asking you to answer it publicly, but answer it honestly.
Do you sin? Do you commit sins? Do you commit the same sins habitually?
Now, I'm not asking you to answer that publicly, but I'm asking you, do you commit the same sins over and over and over? Now, if that means he that's born of God doth not practice sin or habitually commit sin,
you're not saved. And neither am I.
But that is not what it says. He that's born of God doth not commit sin.
Look what it goes on to say in verse 9.
For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Can God sin? No. Can that which God has fathered sin? No. Can that which is born of God sin?
No. His seed remaineth in him, the seed of God. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18.
For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that's begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now I want you to think about this. Do you remember when the Lord said that the prince of this world has come and he has found nothing in me? You know what the Lord meant by that? When Satan came to Christ, he couldn't find anything he could get hold of. Christ is holy. There was nothing for him to grab. The prince of this world has come wanting to tempt me to sin, and he's found nothing in me.
The same is said of the new nature.
There's nothing for Satan to work with. Now, he can work with your flesh, and he can do anything he wants to with you, and you know it. You're so easy for him,
but not the new man. The wicked one toucheth him not. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3.
Verse 9.
Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, this is going right down the line with everything I'm saying. And what is this knowledge, verse 11, that the new man has? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. In all. Now here is what this new man believes. He's got something he believes. He's got something he believes with all of his heart. He's got something that he's relying on completely. He's got a certain way he looks at the scriptures. Christ is all. He's all God requires of me. He's all I need. He's all I want. He's all in the scriptures. He's all in salvation. He's all in getting all the glory. Christ is all. That's what, you see, if all this does is make someone, I'm more accurate on my understanding of the new birth. It hadn't done you any good. It hadn't done you any good at all. But if this makes you see that, you see, this Christ is all in my salvation, you've learned something taught by God. Christ is all. He paid it all. He is all. He's all my righteousness. He's all my wisdom. He's all my sanctification. He's all my redemption. He's all God requires of me. He's all I am leaning on. I look nowhere else. Now, if somebody doesn't understand that, if that's not somebody's experience, they've never had this new man. Because this new man has a particular knowledge. Jesus Christ is all in all. And do you believe that? Do you believe Christ is all? In all? And he's who you're relying on? That he is all? In all? That's the new man. I think of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The flesh, the old man, lusts, wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the contrary one to the other. They're at odds so that you can't do the things that you would. You would be without unbelief. You would be without sin. You would be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And you've always got this thing called the flesh that prevents that. And you would sin without restraint. You would drink iniquity like water. There's nothing you wouldn't do. Somebody says, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised by anything. There's nothing I wouldn't do, and there's nothing you wouldn't do apart from the grace of God. But we can't. The Spirit. There's the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. That's the experience of every believer. Now, I've got a question for you. Very simple question, very important question. There are saints in heaven right now, called the saints in light, worshiping the Lamb. And there are saints in this building. There are saints here on earth. What is the difference between the saints in heaven and the saints here on earth? The saints in heaven only have one nature. That's the difference. The saints in heaven only have one nature. The saints here on earth still have two. Now understand this. If you're a saint here on earth, you have the same holiness that you'll have in heaven. You're not going to become all of a sudden more holy. It's impossible to grasp this. You can only believe it. Because it's hard for me to think that I'm going to be without sin in heaven and I've got the same nature right now. But I do. Holiness has no degrees. You're given a holy nature, a new nature, partakers of the divine nature. That nature you have right now will be the same one you have in heaven, but you won't have the flesh to drag you down anymore. You won't have that old man anymore. That's the difference. It's not that in heaven you become holier all of a sudden. You have that holy nature right now, but you've also have that other nature, that old man. But you won't have him in heaven. Now, the new man is stronger than the old man. The Lord said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That new man is stronger. That's why sin will not have dominion over you. Now, someone says, well, it seems like sin has a lot of dominion over me. That's because you have a new man that sees it. An old man can't see that. But I love the promise that God made to Rebekah concerning those two men. Remember what he said? The elder, the old man, is going to serve. He's going to be a slave to the new man. Now, the old man that you have beats you black and blue. And he makes you to know that the only righteousness you have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is a slave to the new. Now, we wouldn't dare excuse our sin or feel okay about our sin. It's the old man. I can't help it. We wouldn't, by God's grace, we wouldn't dare do that. But understand this. That old man is the servant and the slave of the new. And God does what only God can do. He brings good out of evil. And he makes that old man show the new man that there's nowhere to look but Christ. And you rest on him only. And in that sense, he's a slave. He's serving the new man. This is a part of the all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That covers everything. Everything. And this is what only God can do. Now somebody says, somebody's going to take that and run with it and use it for wicked purposes. I can't do anything about that, but a believer won't. A believer won't. And this new man, notice Paul said that God by his Spirit would strengthen with might this inner man, this man that the world cannot see or cannot understand. Well, Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, the inner man, the inward man, is renewed day by day. Renewed by the grace of God every single day. Made alive by the Spirit of God every single day. Now, the main teaching of the two natures is Christ is all. And like I said, if all this is done and it's kind of made your doctrine a little bit more refined and accurate, it hadn't done any good. But if you're made to see that Christ is all and you are nothing but sin in and of yourself, that's the teaching of the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the creative act of your grace, that you make a new man, because, Lord, we confess our old man is nothing but corrupt. And how we thank you for the understanding of the new man, that thy Son is all in all. And Lord, we look nowhere else but to him. Lord, enable us to preach your gospel in this generation according to your will. Bless this message for your glory and our good. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the understanding that you've given us. Now bless this word for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.